Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast, where we bring together the best medical minds, thought leaders, scientists, patients, and caregivers to inform and inspire the spondylitis community. I'm your host, Jill Miller, living my best spa life, knowing that how we meet today has the power to change everything going forward. Please note that the information provided in this podcast should not be considered medical advice. We do encourage all listeners to consult their healthcare professionals for medical concerns. Thank you for listening, and we hope you find our discussion today enlightening. Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast. Today, we have two guests talking about Take a Pain Check, empowering youth with arthritis through advocacy and action. Natasha Trahan is a university student pursuing a degree in translational and molecular medicine at the University of Ottawa. She is the founder of Take a Pain Check podcast, launched in March 2021, which inspired the creation of the Take a Pain Check Foundation in October of 21. Through this nonprofit, Natasha leads initiatives such as podcasting, ambassador programs, and events aimed at empowering and supporting young individuals with rheumatic diseases on a global scale. She is a trained patient researcher certified through the University of Calgary's PACER program and is deeply involved in health research and advocacy. She serves on multiple advisory boards, including Pain Canada, the Choice Research Lab, and Arthritis Research Canada. Her research experience spans renowned institutions such as the University Health Network and the Hospital for Sick Children, or Sick Kids, a recipient of honors such as RBC 21 Under 21 Award, the D30 Disability Impact List Recognition, and the Mary Pack Award. Natasha continues to make significant contributions to the field. She is also a member of the research team for the European Alliance of Associations for Rheumatology, or EULAR, and through her advocacy, leadership, and research, she is committed to driving meaningful change in healthcare and improving the lives of those living with chronic conditions. Our second guest, Maggie, was diagnosed at 15 with juvenile idiopathic arthritis and later re-diagnosed with ankylosing spondylitis. She is currently in her final year studying biology and psychology at the University of Western Ontario. She's one of the global development coordinators at Take a Pain Check and also volunteers with the Arthritis Society Canada and Make-A-Wish Canada. Her personal experience with AS motivated her to become involved with organizations aiming to create a better future for young patients and allowed her to become a passionate advocate for raising awareness of AS. Natasha and Maggie, welcome. You are both young, but have like awesome bios there. So welcome to SpondyCast.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So tell me, Natasha, can you tell a little bit of the story behind Take a Pain Check and what inspired you to create it?
So Take a Pain Check kind of started from my own personal journey living with juvenile idiopathic arthritis. I was diagnosed at the age of 13. And growing up, I felt very isolated, just trying to find a sense of community and connection with other people that were the same age as me and living with the same disease. And unfortunately, it was really hard because it was so hard to find someone who was the same age and living with the same disease. So at 18 years old, I realized that there was a need for like a dedicated platform where young people with rheumatic diseases could connect and share experiences and feel empowered. So when I was growing up with arthritis, I tried to go on Google and search up kids get arthritis, and it would just be Facebook groups of parents talking about their kids having arthritis, and it wouldn't be the young people talking. And I felt because of that, we need to be the young people that are talking in this arthritis space. And that's kind of what inspired me to create Take a Pain Check. So I started off as a podcast. It now has over 100 episodes. And in addition to that, in 2021, when I created the podcast, later that year, I created the foundation. And this has several different programs, which I'm sure we'll talk about, that just basically support, empower, educate, and raise awareness for young people with rheumatic diseases. We really want them to feel like they can do so much with their life, because I feel like when I was diagnosed, I felt as though my life was over, like I wouldn't be able to do what I want to do in terms of career, or just like in general, my life was so uncertain. And so I want to make patients feel very reassured and support them. And so that's kind of what we do at Take a Pain Check. We're youth-led, and young adult led. And we really, everything that we create is like the ideas are from patients that are young adults living with diseases.
I love that. Thank you. Because it's not easy with either a chronic disease or at a young age to really get something like that off the ground. So it's inspiring. So Maggie put you on the hot seat. You have AS. How did you first get involved? What was the moment?
Yeah, so I would say I've been a follower of Take a Pain Check since the beginning. Again, as Natasha had mentioned, I had very similar experiences, very isolating at diagnosis, not having a lot of community. In Ontario, they actually have Arthritis Society. Canada runs camps all throughout Canada for kids with arthritis. So I had the opportunity to go there, and I actually had quite a few friends from arthritis camp that started off as episodes on the podcast with Natasha. So I kind of like was able to support them and watch their stories as well. At that time, I wasn't most comfortable yet with my story. I wasn't ready to share it. So I was just kind of watching from the sidelines and supporting my friends. Eventually, I was able to become a camp counselor with the Arthritis Society. So that's when I kind of put on my like advocacy pants, I guess, and really wanted to start getting involved with other organizations that were aiming to make the future better for youth with arthritis. And so I got involved with Take a Pain Check first around 2023, I think I first started, and I got involved with their youth committee, which was with another organization. And we made some infographics from patients for patients that navigated different areas like school, work, family life. So that was one of our projects. And then I eventually reached out to Natasha saying that I wanted to be an ambassador. So I got involved with that. And the ambassador position, I was making videos on TikTok and Instagram, sharing story, making just relatable content that other young people could relate to. And so I made videos or written blog posts and just gotten involved more. Eventually, now I'm into my role as the global development coordinator, one of them at Take a Pain Check. And so my main program that I run there is the Young Scholars Program, which we offer scholarships to students with rheumatic diseases and other global projects.
That's amazing. I was actually Googling that not too long ago. I have a high school junior and was like, oh, is there anything available for people potentially living with spondyloarthritis? So in your journeys, you know, obviously you guys have a strong focus on youth and you are youth. What did you find that was missing? Like what was the voice of young people that really made you think through like, oh, other patient organizations are focused on people further in the journey or of a different age, like was there a moment where you were like, or a particular like story you heard and you went, ugh, the generations are disconnected?
I mean, I think for me, just what makes us unique is that we are young people that are starting the conversation and like putting things into action in terms of rheumatology, and specifically like events and initiatives and things like that. And I think it's so much nicer to, like, it's more relatable. If I were to see another 13-year-old starts something like this, or I mean, it's too young, but if I were to just like talk to another 13-year-old compared to someone who's like, I don't know, 50 living with arthritis, there's a big difference in the conversations we can have. I think it's so nice to like learn from other organizations and that generational gap, because like you get to see their perspective on what they've been through. Like I have many mentors that live with rheumatic diseases that are much older than me, and I still feel like those conversations are super valuable. But I think in terms of like a relatable level, or like a level where we can share things in terms of school and just like, right, I mean, topics I have on the podcast, and we talk about like dating and like accommodations, I feel like it's more relatable to talk to people your age. And yeah. So I feel like there was a really big gap in that. It's like young people need to create these things for other young people. And oftentimes we find like older people creating things for younger people or family members creating things for young people. But I think it just changes a lot in terms of the quality of the content you make and the types of content, and I guess constantly making it relevant and relatable. And we found that, especially through social media, because we're very big on social media in terms of always posting, like every single day we make a post. We see people engage with us in the comments that they share. It's just like we're making a really big impact in their life. And yeah, I don't even know if I'm answering your question, but I mean, for me at least, I feel like the gap was not seeing enough young people do things.
Yeah.
For the community. And maybe it's because it's really scary, like, to put yourself out there. I didn't want to talk about my arthritis. Even when I was trying to do the podcast, I didn't want people to know I had arthritis for some reason. I was like, I'm doing this podcast, but can you also not look at it? Like, it was too different. Yeah. Like, I want to raise awareness, but also I don't want people to treat me differently.
Right. Yeah. I don't think that changes from generation to generation. But it is, it's difficult. I mean, you and I share that we both host a podcast on this topic, or, you know, I am the 50-year-old with arthritis. But there was a moment too, when I recall not wanting to talk about it for many years. And there was a moment where I remember telling the story for the first time to, like, in my profession. And it was, the anxiety leading up to it was much just huge compared to the reception. But yeah, I can see it's for you, like, it's very brave at your age for both of you to talk about it. So can you tell us, beyond podcasting, maybe a little bit about, like, what programs you have, and then, you know, what's been most meaningful to you of the work you've done?
Yeah, so I can talk about some of the programs that Maggie, maybe you can expand on those. So we have a couple different programs, and I guess at first it did start as just a podcast. And when I was starting the podcast, people were coming to me on social media and saying, oh, do you have a support group that you offer, or do you have programs? And I was like, no, it's just a podcast. I don't have anything else. And they were saying, can we talk to the guests? And I was like, maybe I have to contact the guests. And then I realized people want connections and they want to be able to talk to other people. So what can I do to start those bonds and connections? And my idea was programs and then creating this nonprofit. And so we started off by first starting a blog. So I think, at least for Take a Paycheck, we know as young adults, our attention span can be very tiny. And so we have different things. So we have the podcast, which could be anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour long. We have a blog, which you can read, that'll take 1 minute to 5 minutes. And then we have 60-second TikTok videos. So it's like, if you don't want content in those, in like one or two of those ways, you have some sort of way to find content on our platform. So that's something we offer in terms of like education. And then in terms of programming, we started sort of a support group, not really. It's called Joint Chat Rooms. So once a month, we have someone living with a rheumatic disease, specifically one of our ambassadors, that picks a topic. So it could be navigating holidays and chronic illness. And then we have a bunch of youth that come on and we talk to them about that. We have prompts and then we play games like Arthritis Hangman or Bingo or just something fun. And then we give prizes. So that's something that we're doing monthly. It's going to start again in February. But that's been pretty good in terms of supporting young people. And then in terms of other programs that we have a global campaign. It's called Light It Blue. So every March 18th or around that week, we light up landmarks blue around the world. So this last year, we lit up 80 landmarks, and that is for the Word Day. So Word Day is a day that was kind of created in the UK. And a bunch of organizations do different things on that day. And pretty much it's to raise awareness of pediatric rheumatic diseases to ensure that there's no like diagnostic delays. So the more you raise awareness, the more people know about it, and the more they like look towards going to a doctor. And so we do that as like an annual campaign. And then we have some other kind of leadership programs for young people, like an ambassador program. And that's where what Maggie did was make TikToks and reels, social media campaigns, and then also run our joint chat room programs, write blog posts, so sort of like raise awareness in different ways. And then our youth board is something we recently started. It's a group of 5 or 6 young people with rheumatic diseases, and they create a group project together. So last year they created a book, and it outlined the timeline of living with arthritis, but only till I think it was 28-ish, because that's when the oldest person in that group, like that's how old they were. So it started from like 0 to 28. So the people that were, I don't know, diagnosed when they were 4 years old, they wrote like 4 to 8. And then someone who was diagnosed at 13 wrote like 13 to 17. And so that book is going to be published soon. It talks about kind of a life living with arthritis to that stage, and hopefully we'll be able to expand that in the future. I'll pass it on to Maggie if you want to add to that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, so I can talk about the Young Scholars Program. That's the one that I'm mainly involved in. So it's the program that launched last year. And it started with our STEM Without Limits scholarship. Last year we awarded 2 scholarships, one to a grad student in a STEM program and then one to an undergraduate STEM student. This year we're doing that again. And then we've also expanded and added another scholarship for students in any field. So not just STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. So we just wanted to create that program to kind of support students with rheumatic diseases through their education. And we're hoping to add more scholarships on in the future and support all areas.
So do either of you, and Maggie, I'm going to start with you, have a favorite story of impact since you started this?
Yeah, I can start. So I would say like my favorite story through working with Take a Pain Check. Obviously, like Natasha said, posting on social media has been really powerful, and seeing those comments of people saying, oh, I understand this, I relate to that, it's really impactful and shows that this is actually making a difference. One of my favorite experiences is I actually had a young patient with lupus reach out to me on social media and say that they really enjoyed watching my videos and actually expressed interest in also becoming an ambassador. So that was an awesome experience. And now they are actually an ambassador with Take a Pain Check, which is really cool to see that, I guess, my videos and other videos on Take a Pain Check also like sparked their interest and wanted them to be involved with the community. And so it's been really nice to have them get involved, and I've been able to support them along the way. And so that's been really amazing. And then I'm also getting excited as more and more scholarship applications come in to see people actually applying, because obviously like we put all this work in, and now actually having it come to life is a exciting project. And
it's huge.
Yeah.
Are there essays with those?
It's like a couple questions. It's, yeah. Yeah, we didn't want to make it like too overwhelming.
I hear you. Those must be amazing stories. Natasha, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I've had multiple people reach out to me. I think one of them is also related to someone that joined the organization. I think when they were diagnosed, they were actually undiagnosed, and they heard me talk on another podcast, and they heard my story, and then they reached out to me on social media saying, hey, I know you started this organization, and you know, I just want someone to talk to because I'm not diagnosed, but I feel like I have arthritis and I feel the symptoms, but no one understands me. And so I actually hopped on a Zoom call with them, and I used to call them just to support them, because at that point, this was in 2021-ish, we didn't have like an actual program. So I was like, sure, I can call you and see what's happening and just chat with you. I can't provide you with medical advice, but if you need some support, sure. And it's so interesting because now they're part of our organization and they've been volunteering with us for 2 years, and they've been kind of updating me on their diagnosis journey. And they're just like really grateful that we have such a big support system. I think like another one is we did a documentary on community support through CBC, which is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. It's an 8-minute documentary. It kind of talks about how Take a Pain Check started plus my journey. And once that was released, we've had lots of people be like, I'm so glad that you brought arthritis to the media. And like, because we went on the radio and we talked about young people getting arthritis. They're like, they reached out saying, I was diagnosed when I was so young and no one's talked about it. And I'm just so grateful that you're creating a platform like this for people like myself. And I think just messages like that have kept me going, because although they may be older now, I see the impact it still makes on their lives. And then it always makes me think, should I be also doing programming for older people with rheumatic diseases? Because they see the impact and they also wish they had that. And they like, it's
yeah, no, do you want an answer to that question?
I mean, I don't think I'm ready for it. It's so much work, but
no, I think the answer to the question, I mean, obviously I'm biased because I think SAA fills a role like that. But that doesn't mean there isn't, right? There isn't space. But I would think, because one of my questions in 3 or 4 minutes is like, what's your moonshot for like,
yeah,
combined with your educational foundation? And you also have a chronic disease. So my answer to your question would be, if you are catching fire with a specific population, stay like really focused, for right? Sure. And the stories I'm hearing from both of you, you know, you take a scholarship for somebody living with a chronic disease, and I've probably, I mean, I mostly talk to people over the age of 30, we'll say, but when you hear the stories and you look back and you will find that you are directionally changing people's lives for the better. And to have that like privilege is, I think, like, I'm super inspired. I'm like, I love this work to myself, and I love hearing from you too, because it's super inspiring. And I think I think there is a huge need for young people, because it's a very difficult thing to adapt to, sure, as an adult, but let alone, like, there's a lot of fear, and I would say stay, just keep like going and put the pedal down in the lane you're in. That's really,
no, I agree with you. I think, like, personally, I know that we're doing so well with the youth that we engage with, but it's always a thought of mine, because I see people that are not youth and young adults saying, is there a way we can get involved? And yes, you can definitely come on the podcast, write a blog. We still have ways, although it's not our main focus, we still never say, no, you can't be involved at all. That you can always share your story. And so, yeah, it's just always been a thought of mine, but I know, like, this, we're doing it for youth and young adults. But when comments come your way, you're like, oh, should I be doing this instead or that? So.
No, I think what you're doing is amazing. And my opinion doesn't hold a lot of value. So, so tell me, because one of the things I imagine in this journey that I think is so critical that is needed for young people is like the mental health aspect. The work you're doing has to be having a positive impact in that area. So do you feel comfortable talking a little bit about the mental health side of things for people living on the juvenile side?
I'm comfortable. Maggie, are you comfortable?
I don't know if I can add too much, but I'll try.
Okay, I guess I can start. So I think personally for me, really the stuff that I faced was, especially when I was diagnosed initially, just hearing the word juvenile arthritis and even arthritis in general. I remember my mom was picking me up from school and we went into the car and she said, oh, you have this thing called juvenile idiopathic arthritis. And I just started crying because I was like, what is this? How's my life going to be? Can I go to school anymore? I just had so many questions. And I think at least for the first 2 years, I did cry a lot about my diagnosis. And I mean, it was always, why me? Why not someone else? I was very healthy, sort of like blaming myself. And there was a lot of guilt. And it was really hard to just like cope with this disease. Because I think when you go to the doctor's office, it's primarily just, we need to make sure your inflammation's not there and you're not in pain, but not everything else, the whole holistic approach of healthcare, which we need to adapt to, is not really what's common in these appointments. And so for me, my mental health was definitely impacted in the first few years. It's changed a lot. Like I definitely have days, I guess, in school, like I would say, when I'm not accommodated, or it's still pretty rough. Like there are, I wouldn't say it's amazing now, but in terms of just feeling less isolated and feeling more supported, I've definitely found a community, for me, I made a community and found it, but I've been able to make so many friends with arthritis and do things like this. And I know that if I have any questions about arthritis or journeys and just like different things, I could even ask Maggie and it would be totally fine. And because we become friends now, like everyone that is in this journey, like we're in this together sort of is what I'm getting from it. But I think for me personally, my mental health has definitely gotten better. It was not amazing like when I was growing up with arthritis, but it's changed. I wouldn't say that I was depressed or had anxiety or anything like that. I was definitely stressed though. Like I think that was a big thing. And in terms of other people, like Maggie mentioned, we actually did a project called Make Room for Youth with the Canadian Arthritis Patient Alliance. And we did a survey, so we launched it and we had 70 people respond. And we realized that one of the biggest needs for people with rheumatic diseases is for us to focus on mental health. So it was like mental health, work and health, school and health, I think like relationships, like we had 6 main domains of areas of need and mental health was the biggest one. And there's just like different aspects of mental health. People were saying just the word like arthritis and being really associated to that causes so much like isolation. And then just like the other things you mentioned are the transitioning of care from pediatric to adult care that causes depression for them. And not only that, is you don't just live with one condition. Sometimes people have multiple conditions and there's the mental health aspect to that too. So in terms of mental health, I think it's such a big thing for young people with rheumatic diseases or just like anyone in general, but I think we need to focus on it. And I don't think we focus on it enough in like the healthcare system.
Yeah, I agree. Maggie, are you okay? You're good?
Yeah,
I see the hesitation on your face, even though our listeners can't.
No, I'm good. I'm good now. Nathan, Natasha gave me some inspiration. So yeah, I guess mine was probably very similar to Natasha's experience, very isolating at the beginning, very lonely. My biggest transition was transitioning from pediatric to adult care. My pediatric rheumatologist was pretty great. She was always like checking in, making sure things were going all well with inflammation and just like in general, my health. So she was really great with that. When I transitioned to adult care is kind of when things went downhill for me. With my mental health as well. It was a very difficult transition. They were essentially going through the whole process of re-diagnosing me, they were trying to tell me that I didn't even have arthritis. And then that, again, is like a very hard thing to go through. I've been told I had it for like 2 years, and then they're just telling me, oh, actually you don't, we don't think it. And they just took all my meds away, took me off all my meds. And so and that was like a very big spiral. Cause then I was like receiving that medical gaslighting. And then I was also like gaslighting myself saying, oh, maybe I don't actually have arthritis. And then I was just like going through that whole spiral. And that was very isolating, had lots of bouts of just crying, like Natasha said. But I think sometimes it's good to just get those emotions out, just lay it all out. And then I've been able to, as Natasha said again, meeting other people has been a very impactful thing and making me feel more comfortable sharing my story and just learning the importance of that. And again, I think it is very important. Mental health is a very important topic that definitely needs to be focused on more and the highlight. 100%.
Yeah, 100%. I would agree. Okay, so Maggie, I'm going to start with you. And you both have really impressive like bios and the degree programs you're working on. So I'm curious if those were chosen at all based on your having arthritis. But like, what's your moonshot? Like, what is it when it's all said and done? Like, what do you hope to have changed in the world? I'm going to make Maggie go first.
I've always had like a very strong interest in science, and that's like inspired me to go through. I would say like my biggest passions are science and like wanting to help people. And I wanted to go into like a career that I could combine those two. I'm still working on what's next. I've been applying to my master's, hopefully to do that, but my volunteering is really impactful to me as well and meaningful. And I try and choose organizations that have like a personal connection to me and like personal meaning. So I volunteering with Take a Pain Check has been one of those. And I wanted to get involved with the arthritis community and also like make more resources and things in the future. So my main goal, I wouldn't say, is like connected to arthritis in general. I'm interested in like forensic science and stuff like that. But I definitely want, through my volunteering, I definitely want to help more and keep doing that and finding more programs and stuff that we can aim and dedicate towards young people.
Amazing. Natasha?
I think for me, it's definitely shaped what I wanted to do in terms of my career and my program. Originally living without arthritis, I mean, I was diagnosed at 13, but even I only really knew when I was 18 or 19 when I was going to go to undergrad and what I wanted to do. Before that, I was like, do I want to be a French teacher or a music teacher? I was not going to go into like healthcare or science, anything. But then I got involved in a lot of research, and I think that really helped me understand my own disease, but also helped me understand what I wanted to do. So I started joining research groups across the world actually now, and just contributing to rheumatology research has really allowed me to understand what I want to do career-wise, and that is go into the healthcare field, hopefully medicine. And so, yeah, I think my diagnosis definitely shaped what I wanted to do in terms of my career, but I think it's also helped me understand more of my passions. I mean, I've always been like singing ever since I was growing up, and that's the thing a lot of people don't know about me, but I think that helped me be able to be so confident that I could do a podcast and do all these other things. And so I think just like my whole kind of journey growing up has shaped what I want to do. In terms of my hopes and aspirations, I do want to be a rheumatologist, so let's see what happens there. And I do want to continue to be involved in research, because I feel like a lot of the times patients are not involved in research, and it's so important because they are the ones that are going, like whatever the results are, the findings are, it's going to impact the patients. So the patients should be involved. And so I've been involved since 2020 in multiple research projects. And so I want to continue doing that. Yeah, and then Take a Pain Check. I think there are lots of hopes and dreams there we could talk about.
Is there anything you've learned in, you're in molecular biology, is that right?
I'm in translational medicine.
Medicine. Is there one thing you've learned that you're like, man, I want to go solve that problem?
In school in particular?
Combined with your lived experience.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's so much. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's so many problems we need to solve. But in terms of like what I'm learning at school and things I want to solve, I think my main thing is just in school, especially, I've given some talks on like making research accessible, because a lot of my program is research focused, like how to make research accessible, how to engage people with lived experience in research and all those different things. And I think that's one of the problems I want to solve. It's like a lot of researchers are doing amazing research, but they're not thinking of the patients first all the time. And so I want to be someone who teaches like researchers, how do we engage patients in these research? How can advocacy groups or even like organizations like both of ours help these researchers and physicians out? And like, those are things that in school, at least, like I've been able to learn that we are lacking a lot of that. And a lot of the research teams that a lot of my peers are in, like, there's not, no patients are engaged. In my research group, there is, but there isn't in all of them. And I think I see, like, such a big difference, and I definitely want to change that. On a larger scale, I want to find a cure for arthritis, but I don't know if I'll be the one to do that.
I get the feeling you're going to be instrumental in some of them.
Hopefully.
I think, right, what is my mantra for this year is focus on the action, not the outcome. Yeah. So on that note, how do people engage with you? How do they get, if they're interested in supporting you or interested in being an ambassador, how do they do that?
Yeah, so a couple different ways. First, they can just search up Take a Pain Check on Google, and they should be able to find us. So if you follow us on Instagram, takeapaincheck_, usually you'll find a link tree in our bio, and then you can DM us if you're interested on Instagram. You can email us, literally any sort of communication. If you want to ever be involved on our website, we have all of our programs listed, and then you can email us. It's just info@takeapaincheck.com. And get involved. In terms of just following us, we are on all social media platforms. So we're on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, X, and hopefully I didn't miss anything. And then we also have our podcast. So YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all of that. So if anyone's interested in being a guest or just connecting or getting involved, you can just reach out to us, DM us, or apply through some of those Google forms on our website. But yeah, I don't think it's very hard anymore to find us if you just search up Take a Paycheck. So
no, it's not that hard to find you.
So I'm glad it's not hard anymore. So it'll be good.
Yeah. So tell us about your plans for 2025.
So one of the big things that we're working on is an in-person event, and that's going to be on Saturday, May 31st from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. in downtown Toronto. So it's going to be our first in-person event. It is called Unity Through Rheumatic Diseases. And that's where we're going to be able to connect with youth and young adults living with rheumatic diseases. And some rheumatologists and researchers will be coming. We'll have some workshops, and we'll have speakers for panels, as well as lots of activities planned for that day. So that's something we've been working on. Maggie, do you want to add something?
Yeah, so this event is a really exciting project. We've been working really hard on it. There's going to be lots of fun panels, and we just want to be able to kind of connect, like, healthcare professionals and youth, and just, like, kind of bridge that gap with, like, our in-person event. So we're excited for that, and we're hoping to, we are working in the process on Light It Blue for this year as well. As Natasha mentioned, that's going to be taking place in March. So we're kind of in the process right now of planning that for this year for World Young Rheumatic Disease Day.
I think I also wanted to add that for an in-person event, our main topic is the transition of care from pediatric to adult rheumatology. And so everyone that we're bringing on to the stage to talk would have experienced that specific time point in their life. And so we're really trying to focus on that time point, because we know not only are patients transitioning healthcare, but also life, jobs, I don't know, school, moving out. There's lots of different things at that point. And so we really want to raise awareness about that timeline and at that time point of people's lives. And so, yeah, I think it'll be very exciting to meet people with rheumatic diseases in person.
That's awesome.
So an exciting initiative that we've just created recently is an ergonomic backpack. It's the expansion of Arthritis Society Canada's original backpack program. We have now collaborated and created a teen backpack program. So for young people that are teenagers diagnosed with a rheumatic disease in Canada, ages 13 to 17, you could get an ergonomic backpack. And this backpack was designed by myself, an occupational therapist, a physiotherapist, and someone from the Arthritis Society. And then in addition to that, we also had Matt and Nat, which is a company from Montreal who manufactured the bags and created it all for us. Inside the backpack, there are tools. So There's Rumi the Pain Bear from Take a Pain Check. We also have a hot and cold pack. We have pencil grips, zipper pullers, just lots of different items like jar openers, things that teenagers would find helpful. And on top of that, there's also like a recommendation resource sheet that I've written for patients that lists some apps they can use for symptom tracking, some of our programs that we offer. So that's something that we've started in Canada. We're going to see how it goes. And then if it goes really well, which it is definitely, like, we just started, we've seen lots of people engage in getting a backpack, then hopefully we'll be able to expand that. And yeah, I'm just really excited because I feel like I wanted resources when I was younger and initially diagnosed. And that's why I found that creating something like this gives initially diagnosed patients a list of things that they can get involved in and tools. If they don't want to get involved, they can just like listen to the podcast or listen to something. At least for Take a Pain Check, what I've tried to do is kind of imagine it in three phases. One, you're initially diagnosed and you're in denial. And the second one is you want to learn how to advocate for yourself. So you want to basically, you can join our joint chat room or listen to our podcast or like read some blogs. And then when you get those skills on how to advocate for yourself, you then want to advocate for others. And then we do things like volunteering with us and our executive team, ambassador leadership. So I kind of see it that way, and how my journey has been that way too. And I try to, any patients that are getting engaged with us, try to see like where they're at and how they want to be involved. And so at least for this year, we're hoping to also like engage more people in our organization and just expand everything that we're doing.
Amazing. Maggie, did she miss anything?
I think she's good.
She's got it. A final question I usually ask is like, what gives you hope? But frankly, you two give me hope. But I would love to hear what does give you hope.
Okay, for me, I think just seeing the amount of people that are doing things for the rheumatology community and just seeing the amount of people that are so passionate, even when they're volunteering with us, just seeing people being like, let's do this or let's make this. Or I think just looking at our generation and seeing how much they're going to do for our future, that gives me hope. And in the research that's happening, I feel like because I'm constantly engaged in research, I see that there's hope for us as patients in the rheumatic disease field. So those are the two things that kind of keep me going and give me hope. I'd say like research and then just community members that are doing really well. And I see that, you know, we have lots of potential and the impact that we've made. I know that we can do so much more.
Amazing.
Yeah, I think similar to Natasha, I think just seeing the young people in our organization and all that they like, we all have just like such big dreams, I feel, and just like we're all supporting each other to achieve those dreams, and like just the community again, and just giving each other resilience and perseverance. And I think just we're all gaining such useful and useful skills that we can put towards our future and help, again, just make the rheumatic community much more open and something with resources that we can give to youth.
Amazing. On that note, I'm going to thank you both for joining us on SpondyCast. This has been delightful. Like, you two are an inspiration. So thank you for all the work you're doing and for all the patience and advancing the awareness of some of these diseases. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
SpondyCast was made possible by donations from the Spondylitis Association of America's individual members and our show's corporate sponsor, AbbVie.
Since our founding in 1983, the Spondylitis Association of America has been the face, voice, and leading nationwide nonprofit educating, empowering, and advocating for people living with spondyloarthritis. Through our extensive work with patients, the medical community, and partners, we provide information and resources to help people impacted by the disease live better lives and champion research to find a cure.